The situation with Russia and Ukraine is heating up dramatically. In case you haven't tracked the latest news, within the last 24 hours or so, Ukraine launched a very clever and very effective attack on 4 Russian airfields that were deep into Russia, nowhere close to the border with Ukraine. And this attack was launched by trucks with shipping containers, you know, like the big 40-foot containers. I think there are also 40-foot containers there, because I think that's a universal global size unit. Anyway, these 40-foot containers on the back of trucks opened up, and out of them came a swarm of drones. And the swarm of drones then had relatively small amounts of explosives, looked like maybe 0.5 kilogram or something. And they just flew right into these planes, which are these legacy bombers and fighters, part of the strategic nuclear bombing fleet of Russia. And apparently 40 of these planes were either damaged or destroyed. And there's footage of some of the destruction at one of the 4 airfields. And apparently Russia had left these planes out in the open, unprotected, thinking that they were far outside the range of, you know, Ukrainian cruise missiles or obviously drones for sure. But this was a whole new kind of attack. Somebody drove trucks filled with, you know, carrying containers filled with drones close to the airfield, and then the drones just took off out of those containers. Wow, this is a whole new weapon system. Now, you might be thinking right away, we should consider whether this can happen also on ships in the ocean, like, oh, I don't know, ships from China coming to offload containers at the LA port, for example. But instead of offloading containers, they just sit offshore and the containers open up, and then out comes, you know, 1,000 drones. Well, I've talked about this in previous podcasts. And in fact, gosh, I remember some other people in alt media were covering the, I think they were called the Club K. These were the containers that could open up and launch cruise missiles. And it was believed that China and Russia had these kinds of containers. And now that we've seen this technology demonstrated by Ukraine, no doubt with help from the CIA, etc., it really does make you wonder, has this technology already been implemented elsewhere? This approach to bombing an airfield could obviously also be used to bomb infrastructure across the USA. I mean, the thing about this attack is that it's going to cause a lot of trouble for truckers. Any trucker carrying a container now could be suspected of having, you know, like a drone launch box or cruise missiles in there or something else. So now you're going to see all over the world, you're going to see truckers put through a lot of scrutiny. And it begs the question, I was trying to complete that idea, that infrastructure all across America could easily be sabotaged just by having containers that are, you know, rolled up near, let's say, a power grid substation or a port or whatever, you know, a police station or a government building or the Pentagon or whatever. I'm sure there are trucks that drive by the Pentagon that are 40-foot containers. What if they just open up and launch, you know, freaking cruise missiles at the Pentagon? Things like that. Or oil refineries, you know, there could be so much economic destruction carried out that would be, you know, so damaging to so many sectors. I'm thinking Texas, how important the oil industry is in Texas, important to the whole country, not just to Texas. But if some terrorist or a foreign nation were to use this kind of weapon system to destroy a major refinery, like a Gulf Coast refinery, for example, just shutting down one major refinery would have a lasting and devastating economic impact. And I have no doubt that this has been, you know, widely considered by the enemies of America, which includes, by the way, radical leftists who want to shut down the economy anyway because of fossil fuels and climate change cultism and all that nonsense. So this idea of a 40-foot container opening up and just being a, you know, a giant aircraft carrier for drones, basically. I mean, a drone carrier, a road-based drone carrier. That's probably the best way to describe it. This is a terrifying new development and new escalation in modern warfare. And you could imagine that there would be different versions of these. Like, some guy could be hauling what looks like a U-Haul trailer or a camping trailer. But it's not really a camping trailer. It actually, it opens up and then inside it's, you know, launching drones or whatever. That can be a very real thing. And I saw a video the other day of a guy hauling what looked like a trailer and a stack of pallets on the trailer, like a full stack of pallets. But it wasn't a stack of pallets. Only like the outside 18 inches all the way around was pallets. If you opened up one of the pallets, there was a trailer inside. I mean, like a living space, a bed and a sink and everything inside the stack of pallets. Well, you can imagine they could disguise like a drone carrier the same way. They could say, oh, you know, this is just a stack of pallets, but it's actually going to launch deadly drones. So there's no way that, you know, state police or highway patrol or any of those people would ever figure this out, because there are so many commercial, you know, civilian transport trucks driving around all the time. And there are campers driving around all the time. And there are RVs, you know? What if somebody modifies an RV? It's like the top opens up, out goes like 50 drones. Is that possible? Heck yeah, that's possible. No question about it. And RVs are cheap right now because everybody's trying to get rid of them. But anyway, those are some things to consider. Now, let's consider Russia's response to this, because that's something that could also be rather devastating. But lastly, on that last point, let me just say that although I'm completely opposed to this war, you got to give credit to the Ukrainian planners. Again, probably CIA, you know, probably high-level NATO people, whatever. But that was a very clever thing that they did, and it worked from the point of view of Ukraine. Practically genius, actually. So they did it. It's about as clever as when the Russians went into the natural gas pipes that are like a meter and a half tall, and they crawled for kilometers, I guess, in the pipes. Was that in Mariupol? I forgot where that was. And then they came up behind the front lines of the Ukrainians. I mean, that was a very clever and very difficult thing for Russia to pull off. But this hybrid container drone assault by Ukraine is similarly very clever and very effective. All right. With that said, obviously, the people of Russia are very angry, and that's combined with the fact that there have also been at least two Ukrainian-led bombings of civilian commuter trains in Russia over the last couple of days. And I heard there were four bombings, actually, but I only saw confirmed reports of two. But bridges were blown up, causing commuter trains to crash down onto traffic. And then as a result of that, numerous people died. The last number I heard was that seven people had died in one of the bombings. I'm not actually sure what the total death count is, but it's more the terror of it. The point of such an attack is to demonstrate that Russia can't protect itself, and to cast fear and doubt into the minds of the Russian people, thinking, oh, it's not even safe if I get on a train. And that's, you know, that's how terrorism works, and that's why attacking civilian targets is a war crime. And, you know, sadly, in every war, civilian targets get hit or deliberately targeted by everybody involved, one way or another, like the U.S. and Vietnam also, you know. And Russia has hit civilian targets. I don't know if they've done it on purpose. I can't read their minds. I don't know. But civilian targets have been hit on both sides, and this is just another example of that, and it's a devastating example. So that combined with the drone attack destruction of the 40 bombers, strategic bombers and fighters. I don't know how many bombers there were total, but the reported number of total aircraft is 40 that were either damaged or destroyed. And I don't know how many were destroyed in that number, but it's probably a lot. And those aircraft cannot be replaced because they're no longer even in production. So, you know, they're gone. The calls inside Russia for Russia to respond very aggressively, even with nuclear weapons, those calls are growing. And I believe that this kind of attack is intended by the West to try to provoke Russia into launching much more aggressive missiles or thermobaric bombs, maybe nuclear bombs, or unleashing Oreshnik missile attacks, which I believe that's what's coming. I think we're going to see a Russian retaliation of Oreshnik missiles that will hit key targets in European nations and possibly Germany as well. But there is a non-zero risk of a much more aggressive counterattack because Putin is clearly under tremendous pressure from his own people, his own military. There's a lot of fear and emotions and anger involved in watching these attacks, especially as Russia and Ukraine were scheduled to meet for peace negotiations. And, you know, how do you negotiate peace when both sides are still attacking each other? I don't know. I mean, I guess there's no other way to do it. You got to negotiate as soon as you can, regardless of what's happening on the battlefield. But it just seems odd to me that you've got one group of men that sit in a room and shake hands and talk about how to end hostilities. And then a couple thousand kilometers away, you have another group of men like beating each other's brains out and firing rounds through each other's bodies. It's like, this is truly insane, but war is insane. War is insane. As Michael Yon said, wars always grow. They always grow unpredictably, and they always last longer than you think. So my prognosis for peace with Russia is it's a very poor prognosis. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And I think that the UK and the, you know, MI6 people there, the deep state, I think they're heavily involved in this. I think Germany's involved. I think the European leaders absolutely need war to prevent themselves from being arrested and imprisoned and, you know, maybe given life sentences or something by the courts if they are subject to the actual crimes of what they did during COVID and since then. So I think the Western leaders need war. And I don't think Trump wants war, but I think the people around him absolutely want war. They need war as a cover story for the reset of the dollar, the collapse of the debt pyramid scheme, which is coming. So they need war. It gives them everything. It gives them, you know, everything's an emergency. It gives them martial law if they want it. It gives them currency controls if they want it. It allows them to confiscate things if they want to. It allows them to censor critics. It allows them, you know, to suspend the Constitution. So that's why they love war, and that's why they're pushing Russia to react. And so far, Russia has not taken the bait. There have been numerous attacks like this that have clearly attempted to bait Russia. The one on the, what's it called, the Kerch Bridge that connects Crimea to the Russian mainland. I don't know if I have the name correct, but those attacks were meant to do the same thing. Remember when they blew up a truck on the bridge and took out part of the bridge for a while? So all of these are designed to provoke Putin into a much more aggressive response so that NATO countries can say, see, look how aggressive Russia is. It's like beating a dog until it barks at you and tries to attack you. And then you say, see, look, it's a dangerous dog. We have to put it down. Like, that's what the West is doing. They're just trying to initiate a provocation of Russia so they can escalate a much larger war, try to invoke Article 5, and maybe even in countries like France and the UK, maybe even justify attempting to nuke Russia, which would be a horrible mistake because Russia's got more nuclear weapons than any other nation in the world, including the United States. And Russia has many times more nuclear weapons than does France or the UK. And of course, Germany doesn't have nuclear weapons, at least not officially. So the bottom line is we're looking at a real escalation of the war, between Ukraine and Russia. This is going to cause, of course, gold prices will spike up. This will cause more uncertainty and volatility in the stock market. It will probably cause oil prices to spike up somewhat. It's going to have consequences. And it doesn't look like we're going to be headed for any kind of a lasting peace. As much as Trump seems to want it, and he even promised it, that he would end that war in one day, it's been 130 plus days, not over, not going to be over. Perhaps until Russia launches its own, initiative and just takes over much more of Ukraine, which some people believe that may be happening soon, that there may be an effort to build up troops and material for that. We'll see. It's possible the war could be over by this summer, like later this summer, but I doubt it. I bet you this war is still going on by Christmas because there's no end in sight, but we'll see. In the meantime, get ready, stay informed, check out our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com, for backup satellite communications and solar generators. Faraday bags for your electronics, and other emergency preparedness gear. You can find it all at sat123.com. And thank you for listening today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can find my work at naturalnews.com and also at brighteon.com. Get prepared. Be safe, everybody. And God bless all of you. God bless America. Take care. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com. And we've got a new batch of turmeric in stock now. After a long search, the supply chains are really becoming more difficult. And turmeric, as you know, is often contaminated with lead. So of course, we do mass spec elemental testing for lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, and other elements. We found an ultra clean batch and we have it available for you now. I have it on my desk. We've got turmeric root powder. Certified organic, laboratory tested, identity confirmed, all that, E. coli tested, microbiology, you name it. We've got it all for you at healthrangerstore.com. We do not have turmeric tincture back in stock. We're working on that, but we do have the turmeric root powder. And as you know, I include turmeric root powder in my own smoothie, which is why it's orange. It's why my dental work turns orange, which freaks out the dental hygienist as well. But that's another story. Okay, so if you want really good, high-quality, ultra-clean turmeric root powder, we've got it now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have, there's the screen showing it to you. We also have astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, we have it right now in stock. Of course, this is known as the king of carotenoids. This is a fat-soluble, super-potent antioxidant. And it's got a multitude of uses and benefits and support mechanisms for human health. Athletes use it. Lots of people use it. This is also what turns the flesh of salmon slightly pink. That's actually the astaxanthin that they're getting from their dietary sources. And it's believed to help support the natural athleticism and the endurance and stamina of salmon. That's just one of the many benefits of the king of carotenoids. Now, astaxanthin is in a dark a bottle because it's sensitive to light, but it's very potent. You only need either 2 or 4 milligrams per day. We've got that available for you right now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have a supply of NAC in stock, N-acetylcysteine, which of course helps support the body's normal detoxification process with outstanding liver support and glutathione and so much more. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. Turmeric root powder, astaxanthin capsules, as well as NAC, all in stock right now, plus hundreds of other items that are also certified organic, laboratory tested, non-GMO. And we don't use synthetic, colors, fragrances, fillers, garbage, none of that stuff.
Nothing like that. Ultra clean products for home, for health, for personal care, for nutrition, and also for long-term food storage, for emergency preparedness. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you very much. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for watching. Take care.